All right, good morning, everyone.
Good
morning. Good morning, good morning. Well, let's go ahead with the message this morning. What I want to do is to share some of my testimony with you guys and bring God's word. And I pray it's a blessing to you all this
morning for you guys, this afternoon for us here in the East. We're one hour ahead of you. Let's open our Bible to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. I pray and I hope that you guys understand my accent. Right? Acts, the book of Acts, chapter 26. We're going to be reading from verse 10. Reading from verse 10. So you can follow along as I read. It says, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the prick. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I sent thee. We're going to stop there this morning, and we're looking at Paul's testimony. So it's a remarkable testimony we're looking at this morning. So I want to kind of share my one as well. But we see that in verse 1, King Agrippa gives Paul permission for him to speak. Right? And chapter 1 says, then Agrippa said unto Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. And Paul stretched forth his hands and answered for himself. And this is what we see that is happening. He has been given permission to speak. And us as Christians, we miss that opportunity when we're given permission to present the gospel to someone. Right? Somebody is asked a question, and we, instead of speaking out, we close ourselves. And we don't share that gospel. But I just want to challenge you and encourage you on this morning, looking at Paul's testimony. But let's open up with a word of prayer. Let's bow our heads as we pray. Almighty Father, Lord, we give you thanks and praise. Lord, first, Lord, for having us here, being able to meet. Almighty God, even though we're far, distance-wise, Lord, but we thank you for the technology, Almighty God, to be able to be here in Belize and preaching to your people in Canada as well. Lord, guide me with the power of the Holy Spirit as I share your words this morning, Lord. Help us. Let this message be a blessing and an encouragement to us all, Lord. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. I just want to continue with the message this morning. We're seeing that the king was giving Paul permission to speak. And then Paul always took advantage of those situations where he has an opportunity to present the gospel, right? And then a lot of us Christians, we miss that opportunity. Sometimes at work, at the store, with our neighbors, even with our own families, we miss that opportunity when they ask a question about God or our religion or what we believe. Right, so here we say the king, the point number one, Paul's past. Paul says, you know what? Let me tell you who am I. Right, so he's telling the king, let me explain to you, and I want you to understand where I come, where I'm coming from. And the religion I used to serve, I was serious. I was a Jew, but I lived like a Pharisee, so I kept all the laws. I kept all the rules. I prayed all the right times. I didn't miss a synagogue service. I volunteered to teach. I sang in the choir. Does that sound of like a lot of us? We come to the church, we sing, and we say, Lord, I have done my part. All right? And that's what Paul is saying. I live as a Pharisee. I kept all the laws. And that's why in verse 5, it says, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I live a Pharisee. He was very strict. And I can relate to that past that Paul had. I was born and raised in the Catholic Church. Right? I was born and raised in the Catholic Church. I prayed on the right time at the Catholic Church. I was an altar boy for 7 years. I knew when to ring the bell. I knew when to stood up. I knew when to kneel down. I knew when to do my signs of the cross. Just like Paul said, I obeyed all the rules. Right? But I was serving a false religion and a false God. I was heading, just as Paul said, I was heading straight to hell. Right? And that's why he says, all these things I made in Jerusalem. In verse 10, he says, which I did in Jerusalem, I took many saints and I shut them up in prison. I put them in prison, King, and I received authority from the priests. And when they were put to death, remember when Stephen was stoned to death, Paul was the one that says, go ahead. And he made them blaspheme the name of our God. I was, as I mentioned, I was a Catholic. I served for 7 years. I was so into that religion that they used to call me the Gestapo, the one who goes around looking and making sure who's behaving bad and report them to the priest. All right? And that's what I did. I found somebody doing wrong. I would be like Paul. I shut them up. I told on them, and because I thought I was doing what was right. And that's what Paul said. I punished them. I punished them. I persecuted them into strange cities. And I, looking at that, when I was a Catholic, I used to look at the evangelicals going to church with their Bibles. I used to laugh at them. I used to say on Sundays, I said, there they go again. Well-dressed with their Bibles in their hand. They think that they're going to heaven. That's what I thought. All right? But I met the Lord Jesus Christ, which is point number two, Paul's conversion. Look at verse 13 in our text. He says, at midday, O King, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the prick. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. I was in that false religion. And the world's population today is about almost 8 billion people. 8 billion people living in this world. And out of those 8 billion people, 1.4 billion people in this world are Catholics. 1.4 billion Catholics live in this world and they're going to hell. And I was saved from that. It is 18% of the population serve a false religion. There will be a time when all of us will come in contact with Jesus in our lives. When did I met Jesus? Paul said, I was at midday, I was going to Damascus to persecute them, to put them in jail. And he said, I am the one who consented in the death of Stephen. Whatever they were doing, I made them obey the Roman laws. So when did I met Jesus Christ? It's going for 12 years that I got saved. I like to tell my church and my wife, I wasted 37 years of my life on a false religion. Once I was married, my wife was saved. She was a Baptist, backslidden. She was praying for my salvation for 15 years. And we were married in the Catholic Church. I told her, if you want to get married with me, you got to marry in the Catholic Church. So we got married in the Catholic Church. We fought. She wanted to present the gospel, and I had my belief. And finally, she said, I give up. I'm going to give up, but I'm going to pray for you. She prayed for 15 years. And why I'm saying that, because I would have never met Jesus Christ if it were not for an obedient missionary, a servant of God that left Indiana from the U.S. and came to Belize to be a missionary of the Baptist Church, to plant a church in Belize. I got to the point where my wife and I were going to separate. She was going to leave me because I had a problem with alcohol. Drinking was my problem. And she was going to leave me. And I did not know better. I said, Lord, I'm going to make a deal with you. If you allow me to find a church to take her and she'll be happy, then I'll start going to church. And we went church hopping, and she found a nice church that she loved. And we went there, and the people were friendly. And after the service, she said, you know what? We're going to join this church. We were driving home, and I looked at her, and I said, no way we're going to join that church. And she says, why? I said, listen, that lady up there preaching, she's not going to tell me how to live my life. It was a church where they had a lady pastor. Right? And 2 weeks after, Pastor Whitaker, Don Whitaker, that came from Indiana to Belize, met a German guy, and I know Pastor Johnson has German blood, right? Met an old German guy about 70 years old and gave him a little truck, inviting him to church. And that German guy took that truck and he said, this young guy needs the message. And then he says, you know what? I took that truck and I took it home and I told my wife, I found a church for you. So in the morning, I got up early. She didn't believe me. I was taking them to church. I got up in the morning, woke them up, and I chilled, and I said, well, I'm taking you to a church that you like. So we went there. We got in there late, 10 minutes late. And the only available space was the front row. You know, at churches, the back row tends to fill faster, right? And if you get late, then you'll end up in the front row. I'm not telling you guys at the front row there that you got in late, right? But I got in late. I was at the front row, and the pastor was preaching about hell, how hell was a dark, bottomless pit, and there will be burning and worms eating you. And I'm like, wait a minute. But what I was taught in the Catholic Church, they never told me about hell. They never told me I can decide for myself where I can be. And that started itching my heart. At the ending of the preaching, he made the altar call, and I felt my 13-year-old son walk forward. And I was there fighting it. And then afterwards, I walked and I said, Pastor, I need to be in this room. And both my son and I accepted Jesus Christ that morning as our Lord and Savior. I was heading to hell. I was heading in losing my marriage, my wife, my kids. But that Sunday morning, as Paul said, at that midday, O King, I saw in the way a light. At that Sunday morning, in that Baptist church, because of that missionary that left home to come to Belize, thousands of miles away, to a country that he didn't know. And God, see how God works nowhere where you are. He wants the gospel to reach out there. And the only way the gospel will reach, if there's people willing to answer that call in going out. But a lot of us will say, Pastor, I'm not called to be a missionary. But remember the Great Commission? He He says, go forth into all the world. Probably that neighbor of yours is right there going to hell, and he needs that word. But those that have been called to go, like Pastor Whitaker, that was called to come to Belize and plant a church. If it wasn't for him, probably I would have been dead by now. Or lost, or without a wife and a beautiful family that I have. He was obedient. He left, he came to Belize 12 years ago. And that day I saw Jesus Christ. And I knew that I was fighting against something with somebody that I cannot win. So, and that's what Paul was telling the king. He said, listen, God is telling me I can't kick against the truth of God. I can't go against him. And that's why Jesus tells Paul, but rise and stand up upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee. The moment we accept Jesus Christ, he gives us a purpose for him. I was saved 12 years ago. And the following service, I sat on the last row of church. Last row at the back. I said, I'm fine. I am saved. He can preach. I can help drive the bus, bring people to church. And he would stand here and preach, and he would look at me, and I would be sitting at the back, and I would fall asleep like some of you guys would, right? And I would fall asleep at the back. I would go like that. And after a service, the pastor walked up to me, and he shook my hand. He says, brother, thank you very much. You're the only one agreeing with my message. And my wife said, listen, he's not agreeing with your message. He's falling asleep. I've been waking up all the while. And what I'm saying, I got saved and I thought that was it. But no, God had a different plan. I sat down on the last chair, on the last row. And God says, no, that's not where I want you. 6 years after, God called this pastor to go back to the U.S., to Idaho, to open another church. But even before he'd mentioned it to the church, the Lord had put it in my heart. I need you to do more than just driving a bus. My wife and I had decided we were going to sell our house and go back to my village, where the entire village is Catholic. My cousins, my nephews, my aunts, everybody is Catholic. I said, let's guess what? They're going to hell. They need God's word. And I prayed about it, and the Lord says, no. And then she says, you know what? My dad is from Honduras. Why don't we sell everything? We go to Honduras. She teaches English, and I preach. Sounded like a good idea. I prayed again, and God said, no. At the same time I was praying where God wanted me to be, Pastor Whitaker, the missionary, came and he said, Brother Blanco, I have a question. Has the Lord called you to preach? You know what my answer was? No. No. I was fighting him. I was kicking against that prick, like what Jesus told Paul, it's hard for you to kick against that prick. I can't win. And then he says, can you pray about it? But deep down in my heart, I had prayed. He came again 2 weeks after, and he asked me for the second time, have you prayed? I said, yes. And what is your answer? No, not yet. And then he walked home, and I went on my knees. I said, Lord, I cannot fight you. I walked over to his house and said, Pastor Whitaker, you know what? The Lord has called me to preach. And he said, well, I'm asking you because the Lord has called me back to the U.S. to go open another church. And that's what brings us to the third point, the Paul's commission. Look at verse 22. He says, Jesus said, having therefore obtained help of God, I continued unto this day, witnessing to both small and great, saying none other than those which the prophet and Moses did say should come. Paul said, listen, great or small, I presented the gospel of that person who should come, who is Jesus Christ. And that was his commission. Jesus said, I rise and I have a purpose from you. I was dead going to hell. I was saved by the grace and mercy of God on that Sunday morning 12 years ago on February. And then he said, I have a commission for you. You must preach to great and small. And that's why I took over the church that God wanted me to be. He didn't want me to be up with my family up north. He didn't want me to go to Honduras. He wanted me here with his people. But there are those that are called to go. Go, no matter where it is. Great people, kings and governors and presidents need God's word. Humble poor people from third world country, they need the gospel as well. And those that are called to go, and if they obey like God, I always tell the congregation here, listen, Paul didn't have a 2020 SUV. Paul didn't have a private jet like those televangelists that have 2-3 jets that they can fly to go anywhere they want. Paul didn't have a train. The Bible didn't even tell us that Paul had a mule or a horse. So he walked. He walked his journey and took ships across the sea. But a lot of us Christians, we are contented in accepting Jesus Christ and don't even want to take the church bus to church. Here in Belize, it's about 85 degrees. Pretty warm. If a cloud will come up in the sky, a lot of people will cancel church this evening. Oh, pastor, is going to rain. Paul went to those hills, rain or shine. He went to deliver that message. And that's what God wants us to do. He says, listen, they might call us crazy like they called Paul. He was crazy. That even King Agrippa said, you almost persuaded me to be a Christian. Paul had that opportunity to present the gospel to King Agrippa. Sometimes we have the opportunity to present the gospel to our boss at work, but we are afraid of him or her. We have the opportunity to invite that neighbor, but we're afraid of them. Paul was not. Paul had a good testimony. He had a bad past, but he had a good life after salvation. So where are we with our Christian life? All of us have a commission. All of us. All of us have a testimony to tell. Paul said, I was this before. I met Jesus here. Now I am doing this. I am his slave. When he wrote his epistle, he says, Paul, the servant of God. Servant is like a slave. They do what the master says. Right? So he says, listen, some will call me crazy, but Jesus told me I want you to go and deliver a message to the Gentiles. Who did God is asking you to deliver that message today? Do you have a good testimony at work? Do you have a good testimony at in school, at the shop? And it's amazing on how a king can tell Paul, you almost persuaded me to be a Christian. What kind of witness are we for the Lord? Those that are called to go and are obedient. Like that missionary coming to Belize. If he would not have come to Belize, hundreds of people that have been saved to this church would have not gotten saved. And as I mentioned, 1.4 billion people are Catholics. They need the gospel. No matter where they are. No matter where they live. they need to hear the truth. Just as I did that Sunday morning, that there's a hell and there's a heaven, and that Jesus died for our sin. He paid it. He said, it is finished, paid in full. Isn't that amazing, the testimony of Paul? What is your testimony? Where did you meet Jesus Christ? And after you met him, are you doing what he is asking us to do? I know probably you have heard preaching on this text here, but I just want to encourage you to be a good testimony. Jesus himself said, listen, John, and Jesus said, and even John wrote it in 1 John, he says, don't be surprised if the world hates you. Who best can talk about the world hating him than John? Being taken and boiled with oil to be killed, and he did not die. They didn't burn him because they love him. They burned him because they hated him. But today's Christian, once somebody rejects our trap, we give up. Paul did not. Remember when he was beaten and left for dead outside the city? If I was Paul, I would get up and run home, but he didn't. He got up, cleaned up himself, and went right back into the city to preach Jesus Christ. Don't give up if somebody rejects you once or twice. They need to hear the gospel. And that's our commission. Go forth into all the world. Into all the world. That missionary came to Belize, and I'm grateful because Jesus sent him. Jesus said, he might not be sending you far. He might be sending you to your neighbor. He might be sending you next desk in your office to reach your coworker. Probably just slip in a little truck. That's all they need. That's all I needed, a truck from a church telling me I can decide to go to heaven or to hell. And then I came and I met Jesus Christ. Have you met Jesus Christ? Is he your Lord and Savior? Can we say like Paul, I am his slave, I am his servant? Jesus told Paul, get up, I have a purpose for you. He has commanded us to do something. Are we going to get up and go? Get up and go. So, and that's the challenge for us today. Let us be that good witness for the Lord. Let us stand up for Jesus. Let us preach his word. Let us present the gospel to the great and to the small. And that's what Paul said. I want you to go forth and deliver whosoever you meet. If they're kings, if they're presidents, or if they're just cleaning the floor at the restaurant or cleaning yards. Listen, once they're alive and they're humans, they have a soul. They have a soul, and they need that gospel of Jesus Christ. So I challenge you this morning, and I end up there at this moment with that challenge, looking at Paul's great testimony that Paul have. Let us have that testimony for the Lord. Let us stand up and say, Lord, I'm going to be that testimony that you want me to have as Christian, that you want me to live, to give you honor and glory, because it's not me, it's you, Lord. It's you will give me the strength, and you will lead me where you want me to go. So at this time, I'll pass it on to Pastor John.